All right, welcome back to the show. It's that time on a Wednesday afternoon where we bring in our man, TechSideline.com's Chris Coleman. Chris, how you doing this afternoon on this funky, hot, sweaty day in the New River Valley?
I'm just trying not to melt, man. I'm telling you. I used to work in an ice plant when I was in college over the summers, and when I was doing that, I got used to colder weather, and it gets hot like this, and I don't like it a bit.
Yeah, you know what? This is one of those days where you long to be like in the, I guess, in the dairy section of any supermarket.
Absolutely.
Kroger or Food Line or somewhere along those lines where you just hang out and just walk through very slowly. A lot of people, what they do, I know, and I won't say older, like old people, but the older people who actually are retired, what they do, they hang out at malls.
That's interesting.
They steal that air conditioner. They walk all through the shops and steal that AC, something that that you and I can't do because we got to go to work, and we're doing some work here on a Wednesday afternoon. Let's jump into things. And, Chris, during the football media day on Saturday, each coach got up to the podium, talked about the depth of their positions. The next day, right tackle Ed Wang breaks his ankle. Now, from an individual standpoint, it would be devastating to lose, say, a potential all-ACC guy or all-American guy. But when you talk about it as a unit, as a whole, is the offensive line the one place the Hokies couldn't afford an injury?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, everybody's been saying that all summer. Can't afford an injury on the offensive line because there's not enough depth there. Starters are good, pretty solid, we think. But as far as backups, we don't really know. It's a tough, really a tough break, no pun intended, for Tech's team. I got to slide Nick Marshman out there now, and Marshman's a guy who started at left tackle in the UNC game last year when Brandon Fry went down with an injury and didn't fare too well against UNC's defensive ends. Now, obviously, he's a year older now and has more experience, so we'll see. But, you know, he's a guy, you know, 357 pounds, doesn't move too well in space, doesn't do well blocking guys off the edge, but at the same time, when you have limited depth, right now Tech thinks that's their best option. Now we'll see when they get Richard Graham back from his hamstring injury, or if they can continue to push Blake DeChristopher along. He's a true freshman. We'll see if that changes, but right now Marshman's the man. And, you know, I'm thinking probably LSU's defensive coordinator is licking his chops right now with that.
That's a scary thought, because you mentioned not being able to move well, you know, in space and speed rushes, defensive ends, whether it be a down speed rusher or even linebackers, a blitz coming from the outside linebackers. That's a scary thought. Now, as far as Marshman sliding over into the right spot, what's the domino effect on the offensive line? Could we see someone we thought that might have been redshirted be pushed into action, maybe?
I think Blake DeChristopher was going to play anyway. He's at the right tackle position. I think he was going to play as a true freshman anyway and back up Wang, assuming, you know, Wang had not gotten hurt. But, you know, he's a true freshman, so they want to go with an older, more experienced player right now. But I think DeChristopher's a guy with a high ceiling. He came in at, you know, 6'6", 305 pounds, already benching 410 pounds as a true freshman, which is pretty incredible. He's there physically. He's just got to pick up the offense. I don't think it's going to have an impact on redshirting or not redshirting for anybody, but it does have an impact. Like I said, Marshman was better suited for guard at left guard, and he was gonna at least challenge for that starting left guard spot. He had it during the spring, but he lost it because he came back overweight, and they slid Richard Graham in there. But now Graham's hurt also with a hamstring injury, so you know it's not gonna affect redshirting. It's gonna affect where do you play certain guys at certain positions now. They've been reshuffling the depth chart all week because of this.
Len Martez here with you on ESPN 1430, Blacksburg's only 24-hour sports station. Joined as we are every Wednesday with TechSideline.com's Chris Coleman. And Chris, there's word that offensive lineman Will Alvarez from Woodbridge has arrived, and seeing that it's about 5:30 this afternoon, he's either completed or he's completing his first day of practice. The Hokies are still waiting his clearance from the NCAAs. If he can play, what can he do? Can he help? What can we expect?
Well, he's a guy I think he's a definite redshirt. He's a really good player physically, but he's the most raw out of all the offensive linemen. Maybe has more of an upside than any of them, but at this point he's more raw. He's a guy who can play guard or tackle, which makes him valuable. And, you know, also with his grades, he's a guy who started out really slow, kicked it into gear at the end so he could get eligible, and, you know, he's right there borderline. We'll see. I think he's going to make it, but we'll see. I think it would be better for him to settle in, take a redshirt year, get used to college on the academic side. So when you need him next spring, when you need him to challenge for a two-deep spot, that academics is not a question because he's been in school for a semester and is in the flow of things.
All right, a little controversy stemming from a game played 7 months ago. What do you make of Coach Frank Beamer's claim that maybe Georgia knew what the Hokies were running in the second half of the Chick-fil-A Bowl? And like I said, it was 7 months ago. Why are we hearing about this now?
You know, Beamer is generally very media savvy. You know, he's been around for a long time. He's very experienced. And, you know, he just doesn't make mistakes like that anymore. But it was a mistake to even say that. I don't think he brought it up. I think he was probably asked, so why are you shutting down practices? And, you know, he mentioned it without even thinking, didn't think anything would come of it. But, you know, he should have put some more thought into it because he should have known he was going to get blasted by a lot of people because, you know, it just sounds like he's whining about something when, you know, the real reason they lost to Georgia is because they couldn't block and they couldn't throw the ball to the right team. But, you know, I think it's something people will forget about here pretty soon. But at the same time, it's not something he should have said.
Len Martez on Black Sports ESPN 1430, joined as we are every Wednesday by TechSideline.com's Chris Coleman. Chris, time to read into things a little bit. That's what we do on sports radio. Backup quarterback Ike Whitaker is seeing time as a wideout. What does it mean to the wide receiver core already in place?
Well, I think it's more of an audition for next year than this year. When Tech loses four senior receivers after this year, and they're going to need some guys out there next year. I think, you know, also when you've got a number of good quarterbacks in the program. You got four talented quarterbacks in the program, and out of all of them, Ike is, you know, the most likely to play another position. He's shown that he's not going to pass Sean Glennon. If he hasn't done it by now, you know, I don't think he's going to. And when you've got a guy as talented as Tyrod Taylor waiting in the wings, you know, Tyrod is so talented, I don't see him being the number three quarterback next year. You know, so Ike is kind of the odd man out in that situation. So I think they're trying to get him on the field, and I think, you know, it's kind of temporary right now, but if it works out there, I would not be shocked if they tried to make that permanent in the future. We'll see, but it wouldn't shock me.
Now, you mentioned Tyrod Taylor, and quarterback coach Michael Kane likes him a lot. We talked to him on Saturday about Tyrod Taylor. If Ike's getting time at receiver this year, does it still mean that Taylor gets redshirted this year?
I think he's going to redshirt unless he's clear and by far and away the number two quarterback. Then I think he's going to get redshirted. If they think he can come in and play in some snaps in a game and make a difference, and they won't redshirt him. But as far as mop-up duty, there's no reason to waste a year of eligibility on that. You know, redshirts are generally good for quarterbacks. It's very rare you see a true freshman come in. So I think you'll see the same thing happen to Tyrod. And I think it'll be good for him, but I think next springtime, he'll be kind of tough to hold off for at least that backup spot.
Shed some light on Brandon Orr's situation. We're talking with TechSideline.com's Chris Coleman. What do you know? What do you know about Brandon Orr's situation? And, you know, what can we expect in the next couple of weeks getting closer to game day, September 1st?
Well, you know, he told the media last week that he went home to help a friend prepare his grandmother's funeral. I believe that's what it was. You know, who knows exactly what it was. I just know that the coaches feel like he didn't do what he needed to do over the summer to get ready, and Kenny Lewis Jr. and Dustin Pickle did. So they're putting those two guys ahead of him on the depth chart. Now, if Virginia Tech had to play a football game tomorrow, you know, I'm pretty sure that Brandon Orr would be the starter. There's no way they would go out there and platoon Dustin Pickle and Kenny Lewis Jr. over a guy who's all ACC if they had to play a football game tomorrow. They're just doing it to send a message. You know, they do that every now and then. They use the depth chart to provide a little extra motivation for guys who might need it. But I wouldn't read anything into it other than the fact that he didn't do what he needed to do over the summer to get ready.
Okay, Chris, are you alarmed 7 months later that cornerback and potential All-American Brandon Flowers is still dealing with an ankle injury?
I'm very alarmed by that, actually. It concerns me because, you know, if he hadn't gotten over it by now, and I have no idea why he did not get over this last spring or over the summer at some point, but, you know, they're practicing every day now. He's going to be on that ankle every day for the next 4 or 5 months, and it's going to be tough to get over an injury like that. I'm afraid it's going to be one of those season-long lingering injuries. And, you know, for a guy who wants to leave after this year to go to the NFL probably, that's a tough setback. We'll see.
You know, and that's a good point because, you know, does having a subpar season, and we're certainly not wishing that on Brandon, but does having a subpar season keep him here to maybe raise his value in the NFL draft? There's a lot of questions. If he's not at 100% this season, a lot of questions can be raised on what he's going to do, say maybe February of next year when you've got to declare whether or not you're going to go in the NFL draft.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You know, everything I've heard is that they're prepared to not have Brandon Flowers next year, that he wants to go this year. There'd be no reason for him to stay. But, you know, if he doesn't have the season that everyone expects because of that ankle, then that would be an incentive for him to come back in 2008. It's just something that's, you know, we'll look for it in the scrimmage and see how he does this week to see if he's 100% or not, but it's something we're just going to have to wait to find the answer on.
All right, Mr. Coleman, we appreciate the time. And, of course, TechSideline.com, Chris Coleman, every Wednesday on this show around 5 o'clock, 5:15, somewhere around there. Chris slides in. We get as much as we can as far as hokey information. And, Chris, as always, we appreciate the time, bro.
Always enjoy it.
All right, Len Martinez here with you. One more segment to go. Quentin Panhaller, Philip Rivens on the other side of the glass. We still got our question out there, and we will give it to you when we get back from this short timeout on the Len Martinez Show. Len Martinez on ESPN 1430, Blacksburg's only 24-hour sports station.